The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. Juan is a recovering MarTech consultant turned creator who writes an amazing weekly newsletter about the MarTech industry, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the mic and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. All right, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter.
Welcome back, marketeers. My name is Juan Mendoza from the MarTech Weekly. Today, we're going to discuss AI and the future of personalization. Joining me today is someone that is a fascinating interlocutor, someone that knows the space more than many other people in the MarTech world. His name's George Khachaturian. He's the CEO and co-founder of OfferFit. OfferFit is an automated experimentation platform which helps enterprises radically accelerate testing and learning, leveraging reinforcement learning to deliver business value from first-party data on existing customers for top brands in telecommunications, energy, retail, travel, financial services, and many others. I'm really excited today to talk to George because he's got this fascinating perspective on how we could redefine marketing personalization in a way that we can scale it. A lot of enterprise brands want to do experimentation well. They want to learn from their customers. They want to improve their experiences. However, doing that is often a manual, clunky, and very slow process. So I'm super excited to welcome George onto the MarTech Podcast to talk about how we get to scale with marketing personalization. Okay, so here's my conversation with George Khachaturian. He's a CEO and co-founder of OfferFit. George, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, Juan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I am just so excited because I would love for you to give us a bit of a definition on what personalization at scale means for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. Personalization is such a funny word in marketing because it means so many things and nothing at all at the same time. So there's so many flavors of it, but ultimately to me, it boils down to, at least in the context of lifecycle marketing. So let's say you're talking about, let's focus in on the world where you're marketing to identified customers, right? Like you're running campaigns to your existing customer base, your loyalty audience, that sort of thing. To me, the purest meaning of personalization is using what you know about those people, which is usually your first party data about your interactions with that set of people, in order to make the right decision for each person. So you have a whole set of ways you could market to those individuals. So how do you make those differential decisions that are taking full advantage of what you know and what interactions you've had with them previously?
So it's learning about what your customers like and what they don't like, what experiences are relevant to them, and building a strategy to deliver that via channels, whether it be web, whether it be an app, whether it be in paid media, in a different format, email, etc. Is that the best way to understand personalization? Because as you say, it is such a corporate buzzword. Oh my goodness, everyone has to have a personalization strategy. What does it mean for you? On the advertising side, personalization means something very different from the own channel side in the traditional MarTech domain. But why is it that we have a bit of confusion around this concept of personalization?
I think because there are genuinely so many different ways to personalize. And to me, there's sort of one distinction that I like is there's personalization writ large and personalization writ small. So personalization writ large just means doing different things for different people. And the problem with that is that there's so many possible ways you could do that, most of which are stupid, You could personalize where, based on the color of someone's shirt, you will have one subject line or another subject line that have nothing to do with each other. It's an arbitrary personalization, right? Everybody and their grandmother is going to have their own idea of how you do different things for different people, with the theory that that will lead to improved marketing performance. But it's just a theory if all you're doing is doing different things for different people. So to me, the more focused definition, like personalization done right, is not just about doing different things for different people. Because sometimes that's not the answer. It's about, for each person, finding what is the best thing to do. So it's not enough to just say, we're going to have some arbitrary rule to personalize. There needs to be measurement, and there needs to be an empiricism where you're saying it's personalization in service of better marketing performance, as opposed to personalization for its own sake. And I think part of where all this confusion comes from is, if you take personalization in the more general sense of just different things for different people, you can do it through different imagery, you can do it through different language, you can do it through weird rules. That's why I think there's so much vagueness and so much confusion. So that's why, for me, I like the more focused definition of personalization. Personalization that actually creates business value is personalization which needs to be tied to measurement. And when you're not just doing different things for different people, you're doing that only in the ways and insofar as that leads to better marketing performance.
Okay, we've got our personalization definition. That's very helpful, George. Thank you. Now, I want to talk about the next bit of this conversation, which is the scale bit. Now, a lot of companies, they say they have an experimentation program, they're doing A/B testing, maybe they're doing a level of personalization. But what are some of the blockers or challenges from getting from, I don't know, a couple tests a month and doing it very manually to then trying to scale it and getting it to a phase where it's actually driving a huge impact for your business, but without a huge amount of resources either? What are some of the challenges there to scale personalization and enterprise today?
What basically happens is, first of all, people start doing A/B tests and you do your first test and it's like, it's a revelation. It's like, this is amazing. I did this test. I learned something. I improved the performance. You realize it's an incredibly powerful tool. And then you naturally want to take that tool and apply it everywhere you can. And the problem is, the combinations of possible things you can test blow up very quickly. Let's take an example of just email, which is possibly the easiest place to test. You could test 10 different subject lines. Okay, great. You find the winner. But then you also have to test different days of the week. So you test that and you find a day of the week that's the winner. But is it true that the subject line that was the winner is still the winner on this day of the week? Or maybe that's only true for another day of the week. Then you have time of day. Then you have frequency. And then you ask yourself, okay, that subject line that won the test a year ago, is that still the top performing one? I guess I have to redo the test. And then maybe I found that that day of the week was good for that email, but is that still true for this other email that I'm testing now? And by the way, and all of this is even before we've done an inch of personalization. This is purely finding what's better on average for everybody. And as you can see, the complexity already blows up. You need like a dozen people just to do this for one email campaign to do it properly. And then if you're trying to take the next step of, now let's personalize, what you typically do is you're going to take that audience, you're going to divide it into subsegments, right? And then you're going to run separate tests for each subsegment to figure out what's better for that subsegment. And so again, you just multiplied the number of tests you have to run by however many subsegments you have. And that's just one campaign, just an email. So once you start looking across different channels and different campaigns, you literally could have hundreds of people working on this, and some companies do, and that's still not enough to move at the pace at which you want to move as a marketer. So it's almost this problem where this tool of experimentation is so powerful, you want more of it, but you feel like you're having to drink it through the world's thinnest straw.
The world's thinnest straw. It's true. The bottleneck is the people power, the skills, the manual hours to be able to do all the variations, combinations, as you just mentioned. And it's true. Yes, I guess the role of experimentation running tests is to get reality, or as close to reality, through a mechanism, which is establishing causality, right? Using an analytical framework to go, okay, we had this in the variation and this in the control, and this is what we think is real. However, to your point, there is so many variations that may disprove that. As you say, the day versus day in combination with a certain subject line may not actually plan out. And then you say, that's just doing a very basic email test to one audience, not many audiences. And then you So the complexity increases as you want to go deeper into down the rabbit hole of experimentation, personalization, which is a challenge. And I know that OfferFit has done a lot of really interesting work in introducing AI and machine learning into this equation to help deal with the complexity. So you don't need 100 people to run what would normally be a pretty simple experimentation program. Like myself, I've been in teams of about 80, 70 people. And all of them were running different tests at different times. And all of them needed that brain power to run single experiments. And it was just so hard to triage or even just know what's in market when you get to that level of complexity. So it's a real sore point, isn't it? You get to a point where you're like, this is way too complex. We really need to substantiate the value that's coming out of this. But what's your view on the concepts of AI and machine learning in the application of sort of, dealing with the complexity of variations in experimentation?
There's a branch of machine learning called reinforcement learning that was created to solve exactly this problem of basically how do you automate experimentation. And it has an interesting story. So there's a classic problem called the multi-armed bandit problem. A slot machine is a one-armed bandit because it has one arm and it takes your money away. So imagine you have 10 slot machines and you don't know which are good and which are bad. And you have 1,000 coins, and your challenge is to try to make as much money as you can on these slot machines. So what you do in that case is you'd probably start by putting one coin in each slot machine, and maybe a couple of them win, and the other 8 lose. And then what you don't want to do is only put coins in those 2 that won after that, because maybe they just got lucky. But if some machines are doing better, you probably want to also start putting more coins in those machines. So that's called the exploration-exploitation trade-off, where you want to make sure you're exploring, you're not over-exploiting, but you also want to make sure you're not over exploring. So an algorithm that's designed to solve that problem in an optimal way is called a multi-armed bandit. These things have been around for a while, and they're built into a lot of standard marketing tools. But more recently, in the machine learning community, there have been more advanced versions of this developed, in particular, contextual multi-armed bandits. And so a contextual bandit basically does the same thing, except it can tell apart different situations and act differently in different contexts. So for example, if in a marketing context, you show it to customers that have a different set of characteristics, it'll actually know to take a different action, to pull a different lever for those two different people based on their characteristics. Or if the environment's different, like it's a different day of the week or something else, it can learn when to pull a different lever. But essentially, it solves that same problem of how do you explore in the most efficient way to maximize the value of some KPI. So that's really a very natural application for that is marketing. These models are quite challenging. So within machine learning, reinforcement learning is notorious for requiring a lot of specialized expertise and being very hard to set up. But when you can set it up and get it right, obviously it can be quite powerful, because it can take this very, very laborious manual process of experimentation and completely automate and accelerate it.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on 2 channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
So you're saying here that the application of AI, its value is in the reinforcement learning, and it's in the ability to automate the process in which those insights are found, they're validated, and then they can be reincorporated into a new program of work. Well, our new experiment or A/B test in this case. So it's that full loop, isn't it? Because when I used to do experimentation programs, getting legal just to approve one test in an enterprise company is a mammoth effort. going, we want to tweak this, or we want to do this button, or we want to change the experience flow to this or that, or we want to change some copy, right? The tests are always so different. But can you help me understand? Because I feel as though the bottleneck often in experimentation programs is in the creation aspect of what that next experience should be once you get an insight. And getting through legal, getting through other departments to align and to approve it often can be like the handbrake. What are your thoughts on that loop between the insight to creation and the role of AI in that piece?
The way I think of it is there are three big bottlenecks that prevent people from getting to good one-to-one personalization in the narrow meaning of personalization. The first, even before that, is just getting all your data to talk to each other, right? It's like integrating different systems. That's a real bottleneck, obviously. The second one is the one you're referring to, content creation. It's getting it through legal, but even before getting it through legal, it's just like writing the stuff, right? Is already a big pain and is an effort. And then the third is the experimentation bottleneck. So even if you've done the first two, you've integrated your system beautifully, you've created your library of content, there's still that bottleneck of how do you then empirically learn which of that library of content do you serve to who at what time in your audience? So to me, all three of those bottlenecks ultimately need to be solved. We're going to see different types of AI tackle different ones of those three bottlenecks. And to me, in the case of OfferFit, we're primarily focused on that third bottleneck. So we apply reinforcement learning, which is the right tool for that job. But then, for example, generative AI is a very obvious application to the content bottleneck. Being able to use generative AI, we're seeing this become more and more commonplace in order to make it much easier to create that library of content. Obviously, that doesn't solve the legal approval problem, but at least it makes it a lot easier to write the stuff in the first place. And likewise, we're going to see flavors of AI that tackle the data integration bottleneck as well. So we're going to see different types of AI built by different companies that collectively are really going to chip away at this problem over the next few years.
And you know what? There are apps and software platforms out there that do the legal review using AI as well, using generative AI. So you can kind of see that that loop could probably quite easily be closed by using AI. And there's a few approvals and there's a person there that can still rip the handbrake. It still goes in a certain direction, right? But there is still human controls, but it just means that it's less time doing the busy work of creating things and more optimizing, say, an algorithm or an AI system to be able to then effectively get more value out of that. It's fascinating, though, thinking through how the enterprise often has so much that they do, right? And AI could probably help consolidate a lot of people in enterprise maybe running tests and experiments and apps and websites and stuff. And often it's not aligned. So what's fascinating to me is the use of, say, AI into consolidating or streamlining several different programs of work in a large enterprise company. Because inconsistency is a massive issue. Conflicts, like different teams testing something on the same page or a same app screen or same product area, all of that is in like another inefficiency aspect as well. But it is fascinating. I wanted us to end on this topic on marketing personalization at scale. Perhaps, George, if you did have an example of a customer or a brand that really exemplifies this, getting to personalization at scale and building that out in a way that's really inspiring. Do you have something that you go back to as a really good example of making this work?
One example I particularly like is actually an Australian company. So Hubble, which is Foxtel's streaming video arm. And so, for example, Binge and KO are all products within Hubble. So they're a big user of OfferFit, and they've been so intentional about the way they've used our AI testing product to tackle kind of the whole customer journey. So it's not just saying, hey, I'm going to pick one favorite use case and then use that in that niche application. I think Anthony O'Byrne, who leads their customer marketing team, really took a step back and said, okay, from a big picture point of view, I want to use AI, but I wanted to manage the customer base in the best possible way. I want to make sure for each customer end to end, we're creating the optimal experience that retains that customer and makes sure that they get the highest value interaction from our business. So whether it's retention of customers, whether it's win back of lapsed customers, which with a sports program, as you can imagine, often happens because people sign up for a season, then they lapse, then you need to make sure you win them back for the next season, whether it's cross-sell between different products. So they've really designed it in a very intentional way where they're taking that holistic view and they're saying, okay, we're going to architect this to make that decision, not just in some like very specific niche area, but we're going to set it up across the board to make sure we're maximizing the totality of the customer experience, which obviously it takes a lot of intentionality. I think only the most sophisticated companies are really ready to tackle it that way. But I think 10 years from now, we're going to see that be the norm where more and more companies are going to say, hey, we're not going to be doing a hodgepodge approach. We're really going to think about it from a holistic customer experience perspective and how we can use AI to maximize that.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I think that that example gives you a good sense of the operationalization of it. Like it's one thing to have the tech and it's just sitting there, but you really need to have that champion, don't you? You really need to have that person to go, yep, let's give this a good go and give the space it needs to learn. It's like a new AI in an enterprise environment. It's like a baby. It's got to learn to walk. And often in the enterprise, they can be cut short just because, oh, we didn't see the results in the first quarter. And often it does take some time. But then the beauty of scaling experimentation in this way is that you should get an exponential outcome as it learns more. You should. That's the point, is that you have perhaps less staff working on it, more automation. And because it's learning based on previous data and reinforcing, you should get smarter and smarter. Experience, you get better and better. We've seen that. Like, for example, social media platforms is a great example of reinforcement learning over many, many years. And it's producing the news feeds, and even SEO or search is producing the biggest companies in the world because they have an exponential outcome from the application of technology. Can you imagine having a million editors editing every single person's news feed on a social media platform? Doesn't make sense at all, right? But the AI only gets stronger the more data you give it. So it's one of those things. If you want to give it a go and actually experiment with using AI in your program, it may take some time, but the rewards should be worth it because of that exponential factor once you have a bit of learning under your belt.
I think that's exactly right. You sort of need two things. You need good technology, but you also need good execution. At the end of the day, good execution is critical for anything to work.
Thank you, George. Okay, so that wraps up our MarTech Insider episode of the MarTech podcast. Thank you to George Cacciatrain. He's a CEO and co-founder of OfferFit. Fascinating conversation on scaling personalization. But George will be coming back tomorrow. And in our second part of this interview, George and I will be talking about use cases of generative AI in marketing strategies. If you can't wait until our next episode where you would like to learn more about George, you can find his link to a LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also contact him on Twitter, where his handle is @OfferFit. Or you can visit his company website, offerfit.ai. George, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Juan Mendoza, the author of the MarTech Weekly Newsletter. If you'd like to get in touch with Juan, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter. His handle is Juan Mendoza, but it's spelled crazy pants. It's JU4NMEND0Z4. Or it's a little easier to just visit his company's website, which is themartechweekly.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletters, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.